The scope and severity of eating disorders are often misunderstood. They are dangerous and often fatal mental illnesses, and contrary to popular belief, are not lifestyle choices. One type of eating disorder, anorexia nervosa, has the highest mortality rate of any mental illness. A study executed by the National Association of Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorders reported the following statistics. 5-10% of anorexics die within 10 years from when they first developed the disorder. KPC Radio staff has reached out to a mother and her daughter who has been diagnosed with anorexia nervosa and clinical depression. For the sake of privacy, they have asked to remain anonymous but have allowed a change of names. They will be referred to as Linda and Jane, Linda being the mother and Jane the patient. Jane admits to dismissing the notion of having a problem for an inordinate amount of time.
I've been in denial about my problem for a long time. It only dawned on me that I was walking a thin line when I went to purge and came up with nothing but just bile and blood. That was scary. But it didn't scare me enough to stop. I still did it even after that.
Staff also contacted licensed behavioral therapist and family counselor Jennifer Mitnick. She comments on the tricky nature of eating disorders and details the ramifications of developing such an illness.
There's a lot of complicated components that goes into someone who's struggling with an eating disorder. So I think probably the most dangerous part about an eating disorder is that it's a mental health disorder that also has very severe medical complications.
While certainly more common, anorexia is not the only type of eating disorder.
Well, depending on the eating disorder. So anorexia, for example, typically is classified by low body weight. But the mental, the psychological component to that would be a preoccupation with weight, body, and appearance. It would be a distortion about body being maybe bigger than it actually is. It would be a tremendous fear around gaining weight.
Even now, the lines between diagnosing a disorder such as this can be blurred.
Under bulimia nervosa, the difference against anorexia is that typically the person with bulimia does not have to have a low body weight. In practice, when you're working with someone who has an eating disorder, these are just the classifications according to this manual that people came up with, a whole bunch of experts came up with and decided these are the criteria we're going to use to diagnose. But it turns out people's experiences don't fit always so neatly under that.
Those who struggle with eating disorders have an unhealthy relationship with food and body image, and the toll can manifest itself in behavioral problems. Patients will often switch between depression and aggression. Linda also recalls her daughter becoming very deceptive in order to keep up her weight loss.
Manipulation. A lot of that going on. Which isn't like her, because it was never like her. It was a little hard to deal with because it wasn't my child. It wasn't the child I was used to dealing with.
Diet technician Rachel Mololipsy, who works for a residential medical facility specializing in the treatment of these disorders, has seen this firsthand.
It's extremely hard on them emotionally and physically. My goodness, I could go on and on about stories that I had experience with these patients, but some of them are extremely angry, and I've had girls throw their cups of sugar at a wall. I've had girls where they'll just break down and cry, and again, it's extremely difficult on them emotionally and physically, because they would get stomach pains, really, really awful stomach pains, to the point where they literally couldn't finish their food because their body couldn't handle it. And so that's when, as a dietitian, she would have to assess that and kind of cut back on the food because maybe the refeeding process was a little bit too much.
In addition to the changes to personality, the physical changes in the person with the eating disorder can be dramatic. Linda has to think of how far her daughter's condition had gone.
She was completely to the point, almost basically bones. She was that far gone. And her body was beginning to shut down. She was very cold to the touch, which we found out through the doctors that her body was beginning to shut down.
Jane herself recalls being put into a residential treatment center.
Eventually, I was put into a facility that specialized in treating behavioral and, eating disorders. I had to sleep on a couch every single night, so the nurse would monitor my heart rate in case I started flatlining. That's how bad of a shape I was in.
Well, Mololipsy lists the physical symptoms of self-restriction.
Dehydration was a huge one that I saw. Most of the girls restricted their fluid intake. Most of them lost a lot of hair or had very thin hair. Most of them had major insomnia, irregular heart rhythms. I guess down the road later in life, a lot of them would have like symptoms like osteoporosis from the bone density loss.
Mitnick details what goes into treating a person with an eating disorder.
A lot of the times it's like called motivational interviewing conversations where it's trying to figure out where this person is in their stage of change and their willingness and readiness to change and trying to figure out, you know, how to move them through the stages of change. But so there's psychotherapy. There's the medical component, following up with a, you know, a medical doctor, making sure that any of those complications are definitely getting addressed. There's meeting with a dietitian. That's usually a part of it. To make sure that the person's getting appropriate food intake and is it challenging food distortions and thoughts around that. And then psychiatry, a psychiatrist, meeting with someone for medication, trying to address whatever other underlying issues might be there too, like mood disorders, depression, anxiety, and the medication component to that. So I think like at a minimum, usually it's a team effort from.
After all this, Jane ultimately believes that being put into a treatment facility was for the best.
Treatment was the best decision I think I've made or anyone's made on my behalf, and I can say with 100% certainty that I wouldn't be alive right now if I hadn't been put in a facility. With the shape I was in when I was there, if it had continued, I'd be dead.
Someone suffering from an eating disorder has an unhealthy relationship with food that disrupts and interferes with areas of everyday life. A person may eat little to no food, eat excessively large amounts of food, be obsessed with thoughts of food or exercise, and have a distorted image of their body. As with other mental disorders, no single cause exists for developing one. Generally, it can be a combination of many factors, such as but are not limited to genetics, trauma, and psychological issues. Residential treatment programs have many benefits to those suffering from an eating disorder. Being in a stable, controlled environment can help patients break unhealthy and compulsive behaviors. Because patients see a therapist on a daily basis, treatment can be more effective and progress or regression will be closely monitored. A team of medical professionals are available to treat all aspects of the disorder, and being in a supportive environment where patients are surrounded by people going through struggles similar to their own may help them cope with the change needed in their lives. If you or a loved one is struggling with an eating disorder, remember that you are not alone and help is readily available should you seek it. Recovery is possible.